T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome, friends. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you so much for being here. Again, yeah, and Texas Terry just sent me an email. Yeah, Dr. Paul Alexander has actually called in a few times to this radio station, many times actually over the years, but David Bellavia had Dr. Alexander on this morning in the 10 o'clock hour, and I have to tell you, it's must-hear radio. I'm going to try to work in some cuts in the next hour, not this hour, but the next hour from David's interview with Dr. Alexander. But if you have issues as far as young people and the vaccine and side effects, I'm going to tell you, it's must listen to radio. And you can go to WBEN.com and scroll down the screen and find David Bellavia's 10 o'clock hour for today and listen to it, because it's really, really good. Now, joining us now on News Radio 930 WBEN, a man we have turned to for information on COVID for, the past couple of months. He is Dr. Peter McCullough. And here's what we're going to do, as I promised you, is you have general questions about COVID, the vaccine. Dr. McCullough is in a position to answer those questions. And even though I could take up most of the hour asking him questions, I'm going to defer to you guys in favor of your telephone calls. And Dr. McCullough, real quickly, before we start taking some telephone calls, just so you know, I'm not depressed or anything. I have laryngitis, so I got to scale back the voice a little bit. I apologize.
Tom, completely understand. I know you must have been shouting your lungs out at the Bills game. You know, the Bills are 1-1, and our Cowboys are 1-1 down here in Texas. So we'll have to see how it plays out the rest of the season. I'll do most of the talking today, so if you want to bring on questions or a brief update, I'm happy to go either way.
Oh, that is music to my ears. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us on WBEN and Pasquale. Let's go right to the phones. Hey, I only have one phone line open, guys. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, Dr. McCullough, before we go to the calls, I know that you would like to communicate to my boss that it really is medically proven that he should allow me to bring in some fine quality bourbon to work for help with the voice. Isn't that medically correct?
Well, Tom, you know, bourbon could be among a list of viral cytokines agents for the virus in the mouth. And so kidding aside, we do have some updates there real quickly.
Yes.
Randomized trial by Chowdhury et al. Published earlier this year, randomized 606 patients to dilute povidone iodine or betadine. We're talking a few drops of betadine in a juice glass of water, swish and a gargle and spit it out. Don't swallow it. Spray it or Q-tip it up in the nose. Snort it out. Do it twice a day. Markedly reduces the chances of getting COVID.
Where do you get Benadryl? Where do you get this stuff?
Get it at any local pharmacy. Order it on Amazon. It's $1 a bottle. It's the brown stuff they use to sterilize wounds in the operating room. Most of you have probably seen it before. Just a few drops of that in a glass of water. Now, normally, you have to use some Listerine afterwards. Get the iodine out of your mouth. But the bottom line is it really works. And if you're exposed to COVID, let's say you went to a birthday party, somebody has COVID, do it 4 times a day the next 3 days, and it's a great way to prevent getting COVID.
Can you spell Betadine, please?
Betadine is Betadine.
Betadine. All right. Just a real quick question before we go to calls. How about good old-fashioned Listerine? Any efficacy to that?
Yeah, Listerine and Scope work. They're not as good as the Betadine, but we encourage people to go ahead and double treat it. So do the Betadine first, then get a bottle of Listerine or Scope, and then freshen up the mouth afterwards, and you're good to go for the day. Do it twice a day during these peak areas. We're on the backside of the Delta curve now, which is good news, but there's still enough Delta out there. Keep yourself safe.
Well, I've got a million follow-up questions, but I promised my audience I'd go to calls, and let's do that. Here's Debbie in Buffalo with Dr. Peter McCullough. Debbie, thank you for calling. What's your question?
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I have not been vaccinated. I don't intend to be vaccinated. I'm in my mid-60s and probably since the early 90s have not received any vaccinations or any boosters, flu, shingles, pneumonia, anything of any sort. I've always relied on my immune system to do its job. I have not had a cold, sinus infection, or anything else that has put me down for any amount of time. When I was working, everybody at work used to say, you never get sick. And I was in the early childhood field.
Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I need you to, because I got a lot of people on hold. What is your question?
Do I need, should I get the vaccine if I feel that I have natural immunity?
You should feel no pressure, coercion, or the threat of reprisal. The COVID-19 vaccines don't fully cover COVID-19. We now have from two papers, one from Fillmore and the other one from Habers. I always cite the first author so it's clear it's information. So I'm not being accused of giving false information. This is published information. Two papers now, 23% of Americans in the hospital with COVID-19 have been vaccinated. So it's clear that the vaccines don't stop COVID in everyone. The vaccines have great safety concerns for many. And so I think it's purely your choice. If you feel you're in good shape and you can use the Betadine prophylaxis that I talked about, oral nasal washes, and if you get sick, get an early treatment, you'll be fine.
How about some of the other things that people talk about, like neti pots or simply saline?
It turns out that there are a variety of things that kill the virus. Just like a whole bunch of different hand sanitizers work, it turns out in the nose and mouth, the things that work are Betadine, that's the best, dilute hydrogen peroxide, dilute sodium hypochlorite, actually a few drops of household bleach in a glass of water, swish and spit it up, don't swallow it, that works, and even Listerine and Scope work at the low end. Nasal ozone works and nasal saline washes work, but the best is Betadine, proven in a randomized trial.
Back to the calls, Bonnie in Pendleton. Bonnie, welcome. You're on WBEN with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Thank you for taking my call. Dr. McCullough, I'll try and be concise because I do have a few questions.
I need you to narrow it down to one or two, okay?
Sure. The hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, I'm wondering what's stopping doctors from ordering it. Is it political or what? And the other question I have is there have been studies out of Europe that some of the medical community over there have been their opinion is that it is going to affect every single person in the world is going to end up with COVID at some point. Have you seen those studies, or can you comment on that?
Right, two excellent questions. First of all, as far as the medications and prescribing of those medications, what is the political wind in the medical community?
Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin have even more support than they had last year. Hydroxychloroquine, over 250 supportive studies. Ivermectin, over 60 supportive studies, strongly supported by the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Ivermectin, separately, strongly supported by the Frontline Critical Care Consortium, both drugs for American frontline doctors and both drugs for Truth to Health Foundation. The U.S. FDA, CDC, and NIH don't have any early treatment recommendations, so we can't look to them. And so doctors need to look to these COVID-specific organizations for support. They can be prescribed and should be filled by pharmacies. What we're hearing is that the pharmacies are trying to block the prescriptions to the patients, and the patients need to really step up and demand the medicines when the doctors prescribe them. Now, the second question is, will everybody get COVID? The answer is no. 15% of people cannot get COVID, either because they or have cross-reactivity to other coronaviruses or they have a very good microbiome. That's been shown now. So those of you lucky, if there's a household of six people who in COVID hits, I guarantee one or two don't get COVID every single time.
Dr. Peter McCullough is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, and let's get to Bob in Springville. I'm sure we're going to get more questions about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin along the way. Bob, go ahead. You're on with Dr. McCullough.
Hi there. So my question is, does the vaccine actually prevent transmissibility? Keep getting yelled at by vaccinated people that I'm putting them at risk. But I thought the vaccine was really only to protect the vaccinated person. That's what I got.
Our CDC director has come on TV in the last month and told America the vaccines don't stop transmission. And a paper by Fahrenholt and colleagues has clearly shown this, that there can be people who are fully vaccinated and they're not around anybody else, and they actually have outbreaks of the virus among themselves. It just happened at Duke University, where there were 300 vaccinated kids. They all got they all got Delta, and there were 8 unvaccinated. Well, you can't blame the 8 for the 300 who got the vaccine. So clearly the vaccinated can get, acquire, and transmit Delta to others, and everyone agrees on that.
Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. And if you're just joining us, I don't want to overstate this, but don't worry about me. I just got laryngitis. I'm going to bowl my way through it. Tim Wenger actually offered to come in and finish the show, and there's no need for Tim to do that. Tim already has about 80,000 things he has to do every day, and we've been working together too long. I like him, I respect him, and he deserves some time off. So I'm going to bowl through this. I feel fine. Let's go to, I guess it's Robin in Buffalo on WBEN. Robin, you're on with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Hi, Doctor. This morning at this station, we had our Children's Hospital doctor come on the station, and they asked him about how many children right now are in Children's Hospital patients with COVID. And he said there are 4 partially vaccinated patients. Now, I would assume that would be between 12 and 18 because you have to be 12 to 18 to be vaccinated. And then he said, oh, myocarditis is now, it's not a side effect, it's COVID. That they get myocarditis from COVID. And I'm thinking that children that are showing up that are partially vaccinated are having side effects from the vaccine and not COVID.
Interesting question. Is there any way of knowing that, doctor? Because a lot of times, you know, we get calls like this or situations like this, and the causal link is uncertain.
FDA agrees and has warned Americans that Pfizer and Moderna cause myocarditis. And there's a preclinical study now showing directly that the spike protein causes the myocarditis in the heart. We have a paper by Hoag and colleagues from the University of California, Davis, H-O-E-G, Hoag and colleagues, that shows that the risk of myocarditis with the vaccines is 2 to 3 times higher chances of being hospitalized with myocarditis from the vaccines in a child that age than actually being hospitalized with COVID. So the analysis here is vaccinating children, you're more likely to put your child in the hospital with myocarditis than you are to save them from the hospital from COVID.
Let's get more calls for Dr. Peter McCullough on News Radio 930 WBEN. Bill in Eden is up. Bill, you are on. Go ahead.
Sam, thanks so much for bringing Dr. McCullough. I've watched his videos, and I really appreciate him and you. And I made a link to all of the ones that I've watched, and even that show that you mentioned earlier, Tom, today on WBEN. If you just go to blink/watch this, that's b.link/watch this, you'll see all of it. My quick question for Dr. McCullough, is it true that the vaccines, all the ones that we have now, are only formulated for the Wuhan strain, and so the Delta, it's not really that effective? And can these vaccinations give you cancer, or do they do something with you that could possibly diminish your own way that you could fend off cancer and make it a result? That's my question. Thanks.
All right, 2 questions there. First, the Wuhan virus exclusively?
Yes, the vaccines are all coded to the original Wuhan wild-type spike protein. They have not been adjusted for Delta, and they don't adequately cover Delta, and that's the reason why we are seeing so many vaccine failures. Now, the vaccines don't directly have a link to cancer, but there is one paper demonstrating that the spike protein that the vaccines code for do interact with 2 cancer genes. One's called the P53 gene, and the other one's called the BRCA gene. People recognize it as a breast cancer in female reproductive organ cancer. I would say this, 1 or 2 vaccine shots, my clinical judgment is no concern about cancer risk because it's a brief exposure to the spike protein. But if we get into boosters and there are regular shots that keep going and going over years, then my concern level goes up because the vaccines have not been tested to tell Americans that they aren't cancer-causing. They skip those carcinogenicity tests.
I need to follow up, and at what point, doctor, with any vaccine or any medicine, do we absolutely know that there is a very limited risk of cancer or an increased susceptibility to cancer?
We would know if there were animal studies done and the animals developed cancer. Those are called carcinogenicity studies. And with Operation Warp Speed, they were skipped. So what we're going to need is to look for is cancer in humans and over a long period of time, probably about 5 years or longer. These are considered gene transfer technologies, and the FDA is clear on this, that we need 5 years of follow-up before we really can declare things safe.
Back to the calls on WBEN. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us. Tomorrow, Dr. Jane Orient of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is going to be on with us. And I'm working on Dr. Robert Malone. Had an exchange with Dr. Malone and his lovely wife, Dr. Jill, last night. Not that Dr. Jill, Dr. Malone's Dr. Jill. Let's go to Linda in Lockport. Linda, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. My question to you, doctor, is I heard this on a late-night talk show, doctor, about if one has a combination of, like, vitamin C, zinc, and D3, that would, not that it would prevent COVID, but it would reduce the effect of COVID, and also that it may reduce the effect of the side effects of getting the vaccine. And especially if one had access to 3 milligrams of ivermectin, if you throw into that with the cocktail, that you could really lessen the effects. Is that correct?
Interesting question. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, the first question is about what we call the nutraceutical bundle in COVID-19. What we know there is zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, a polyphenol supplement called quercetin or quercetin, that's considered the bundle. And if people are low in these factors, they tend to have a more difficult time with COVID-19. I don't think any one of these are a treatment for COVID-19, but it's a good idea during these big waves to get on a supplement program, again, of zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, and quercetin. Now, with respect to the vaccine, there really haven't been any studies of what can make an easier ride with the vaccine. People are trying different things. They are very concerned because of the number of deaths and hospitalizations afterwards. But I just can't give you guidance right there because we don't have any published observations at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 26 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Dr. McCullough, we've got about, for you, an 8-9 minute break. We're talking with Dr. Peter McCullough, and you guys several weeks ago said, hey, Tom, why don't you start taking calls earlier for your guests? And I said, yep, that's a very, very good bit of criticism, so that's exactly what we've been doing. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us, and your phone calls, just one line is open. And again, just to state the obvious, if you could limit yourself to one or maybe two questions if they're really good, that would be appreciated. And remember, Dr. McCullough cannot individually diagnose you or anything like that. He can answer general questions about COVID and the vaccine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, it's Bauer Lee on News Radio 930 WBEN, and I apologize for the voice. It's laryngitis, and I'm making poor Tim Wenger's life absolutely miserable. You have no idea, guys. You have no idea how busy Tim is. You have no idea the energy he puts into this radio station, and you also have no idea how horrible I feel when I think I'm letting Tim down and I got to make him scramble to do things at the last minute. I probably will not be in Thursday and Friday because of this situation. Just so you know, I feel fine. It's not a question of how I feel, but I realize I probably sound like I could grind paint off your walls. But I apologize to you, my listeners. I apologize to Tim Wenger, my boss. It's just one of those things. I have no control over it. It's just a heck of a bad time to get laryngitis. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN with Dr. Peter McCullough, who's saving my bacon today. Here is, see if I laugh, it makes it worse. Here's Fred in Lancaster. Hey, Fred, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Tom. Well, 3 weeks ago, my vaccinated girlfriend gave me COVID, and thank God for Dr. McCullough and his videos I saw on BitChute, because of that, I was able to prepare. I ordered out of the country for hydroxychloroquine, and my friend gave me ivermectin. In about 2.5 weeks, I'm fine.
Okay. Doctor, did you have a question based on that?
Thank him for that.
I'm sorry. You just wanted to thank him?
Yes. But also one other thing. How come we're not doing anything about treatments? That's my question.
That's a great question. Thank you very much. We've talked before, Dr. McCullough, about therapeutics, and I'd like you to expand on that.
I was invited to testify the first of the two historic U.S. Senate hearings on early treatment, November 19th and December 8th. And that was led by Senator Ron Johnson, who really wants doctors to be doctors and be left alone in order to manage the pandemic according to their judgment. And I agree with the sentiment of the caller that doctors need to be completely supported in using all the tools available, including the monoclonal antibodies, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, the steroids, the anticoagulants. We need the public to support doctors strongly on early treatment. And like that man, he took measures into his own hands, and he kept himself out of the hospital, and he made it happen. So everybody should go to the key websites, aapsonline.org, Truth for Health Foundation, American Frontline Doctors, or Frontline Critical Care Consortium. There's four of them. You can find the treatment protocols and the telemedicine services to get going in early treatment.
Doctor, let me just interrupt here and just ask you. A lot of people, myself included, are having a real hard time understanding why, if your job as a physician is the treatment and cure of diseases, why so many doctors are running into so many roadblocks about the Z-Packs, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. What is going on behind the scenes that we just don't understand, we being the layman?
Thomas, almost as if from the beginning it was blame the victim. Do you remember early on they were blaming people for being super spreaders and not socially distancing? Now when people get COVID-19, they're almost penalized because the pharmacists don't want to dispense medications to them. The doctors don't want to prescribe medications for them or help them. It's almost from the very beginning COVID-19 patients were penalized. Well, I tell you, I think the tide is turning. There's been about 500 hero doctors in the United States handling the whole country. Two of them just got prestigious appointments. Dr. Joe Ladapo was just appointed as the Florida Surgeon General and chairman of the Department of Health and Human Services there. And then Dr. Ryan Cole just got named as a health director for the largest county in Idaho. I think we're going to see a tables turning, and we're going to get early treatment doctors in positions of authority and turn this thing around.
Dr. Peter McCullough is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Pasquale Maggiore making the magic happen behind the scenes. Back to the calls. Next up, we have Jennifer in Ontario. Jennifer, you're on WBEN. Jennifer is no longer with us. Sorry, Jennifer is passed. Here's Gary in Wheatfield on WBEN. Gary, go ahead with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, doctor? My question is that back in November I had COVID, and now that the my work is mandating the vaccines probably by January. My question is, if I have to get this vaccine, would that vaccine destroy any of my natural immunity or my antibodies?
Vaccines don't destroy natural immunity, but they don't help natural immunity either. And there's 4 studies now showing if you take a vaccine on top of natural immunity, you are asking for trouble. And they include Raw, Kammer, Mathudius, and most recently a paper published by Monteforti in Healthcare Workers, all showing if you are forced to take a vaccine on top of having natural immunity, you're going to be harmed by the vaccine. Higher safety events, serious events, including hospitalization.
Back to the calls. Next up, as everybody comes in order, line number one is Dolores in Hamburg. You're on with Dr. McCullough. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I hope you're better, Tom. And Dr. McCullough, thank you so much. The question is this. If someone has liver problems and is wearing a mask, is there adverse effects with the mask that are causing other problems for adults as well as children, particularly if they're born with liver problems or kidney problems? I'm sorry.
You know, there's no value to general public masking. I would say this, though. There's been 12 randomized trials, including the DAMS trial, which was neutral. There's been a recent trial showing a slight advantage to masking. I would say this, that in a high-risk situation, like having lots of close contact, a dental assistant, a dentist, a doctor in close range, a hairstylist, et cetera, if we're talking about a student or an employee that's going to a general work environment, there's no benefit of masking. If two people don't have the virus and they're looking at each other wearing masks, it's pretty obvious the mask can't help. Now, can the masks hurt? The masks do tend to trap the normal bacteria that's in and out of the tracheobronchial tree. So if somebody has some internal medicine problem, it could be a setup for bronchitis or worse. So we advise fresh air. You know, Grandma was right on this. Get a lot of fresh air, get that mask off, and only use the mask in high-risk situations. I would say one more thing. If someone actually gets sick at work or a student gets sick at school, put a mask on and get out of the environment in case it's COVID. If you're sick at home or a student is sick at home, don't show up to work. This is the new normal now with COVID-19.
Yeah. Dr. McCullough is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, Dr. McCullough, I'm going to ask you this question because it's obviously very relevant to me right now. I am not a person who gets chest colds, but unfortunately, last week I started to develop this chest cold, which has changed into laryngitis. Now, my question is, I'm talking to doctors who are telling me that they have seen already this fall, and we just turned into fall, but they're seeing an increased number of lung issues, bronchial infections, chest colds, et cetera. And I'm wondering, is part of the reason for that the fact that we've been just too hygienic over the past 18 months?
I can't make that call, Tom. I just think there's a seasonality to these colds. You know, if you turned on the football, which I know you did this weekend, you saw a lot of people just getting back to normal. You saw these stadiums full. People weren't wearing masks. So they will pass general colds to one another, and we're probably just getting back to normal.
Understood. Now let's try Jennifer in Ontario again. Poor Ontario. They get stiffed at every turn. Jennifer, you're on WBEN. Go ahead.
Dr. Peter McCullough for taking our calls. I'm concerned about the status of the blood supply. I have an autoimmune disorder, and I currently infuse immunoglobulin product, which is derived from thousands of blood donors. So if I don't want to take the shot, and now I feel that the product is also compromised.
Is there any valid reason for that concern, doctor?
We notified this spring the American Association of Blood Banking, as well as the American Red Cross. When I mean we, pathologists in my circles that have been researching COVID-19, we notified them with the idea that the blood supply could be contaminated because those who are being vaccinated are not being screened out from giving a blood donation. So if somebody's vaccinated and within 2 weeks from the vaccine they give a blood sample, almost certainly they're giving spike protein as well as potentially lipid nanoparticles into the donated blood. The American Red Cross and the American Association of Blood Banking has received those concerns but not acted upon them. The only thing I can tell you as a doctor is that there are so many people with positive antibodies now, as the blood is pooled, it's very likely that the spike protein is neutralized based on the broad pool of antibodies that's been shown in some of the blood banking studies. So that's where we are with the blood supply issue.
Great question so far, ladies and gentlemen, and we thank you very much. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us. Hey, at 5 o'clock, just after the 5 o'clock news, we're going to get an update on some of the lawsuits on masking and mandates from Corey Hogan from about 5:05 or so until 5:25 on News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's go back to the calls and say hello to Tim in Clarence. Next up, hello, Tim. You're on with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Hello. Yes, what I would like to know is the Pfizer product FDA approved in the USA or just Comirnaty in Germany? Thank you.
Pfizer is not FDA approved in the United States. August 23rd, Pfizer received a no approval letter. It's a continuation of the emergency use authorization. Comirnaty by BioNTech, German company, received conditional approval, but there is a long list of post-marketing studies and a lot of safety information that has to be put into the label. Comirnaty is not currently available in the United States. So we currently have no FDA-approved vaccines in the United States.
Wow. We are with Dr. Peter McCullough, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here's Debbie in Tonawanda. Debbie.
Doctor, thank you for taking my call. Quick question. How long after someone gets vaccinated can they spread to other people? And is this called shedding? And is there a specific time frame that you should stay away from somebody?
After vaccination. Doctor?
In a paper by Ogata and colleagues, the measurable spike protein was in the blood for 2 weeks. And then after that, it was no longer measurable as the antibodies came in with the messenger RNA vaccines. So we believe the shedding clearly could go on for 2 weeks. Some of conservatively feel it's 4 weeks. And so the general advice now is to try to stay clear from close contact. That means kind of oral or even sexual contact for about 4 weeks after vaccination of somebody who's been freshly vaccinated.
Wow. The sacrifices keep getting worse. Welcome to the show. Dr. Peter McCullough has been a regular guest on this program answering your questions about COVID and the vaccine. And please, just one question per person in the time that remains. And remember, general questions. Dr. McCullough can't do individual diagnosis and he can't write you a script on the air. If he could, I'd be asking him for morphine every chance I could. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Jason in Tonawanda. Jason, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Tom. You sound great, by the way, doctor. Thank you for everything you're doing. I just had a quick question that's trying to navigate all the disinfo right now. I've heard that, like, the vaccinated people are shedding spike proteins and are walking whatever virus factories. Is that true? And then could that be why there's been such an influx of, like, off-season RSV in our area recently?
Well, we just had a question along those lines. Doctor, is there something that I'm missing that maybe you want to follow up on?
The vaccinated can carry viral loads at much higher levels than the those from the unvaccinated era with prior variants, and that was shown in a paper by Chow and colleagues published in Lancet. Now, it's possible that COVID can coexist with RSV, and that may have explained why some of the children got in trouble in the last few months with hospitalizations for COVID. But children are very easily managed with nebulizers and some other medications.
Let's go to a question that I'm dying to hear the answer to. Here's Amy in Lockport. You're on WBEN.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Doctor. Thank you for all you do. And Tom, I hope your voice gets better soon.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding something that Doctor had talked about on a previous show and the PCR test for COVID, and as far as them not being reliable, and how you, if you truly have COVID, you can only get it one time. How do you know that? How do you know that you're getting a reliable test then, or how do you get a reliable test?
The test should only be used in individuals who are sick. So they're approved, they're actually cleared by the FDA as a diagnostic aid for making a diagnosis of COVID-19. How you can improve the quality of the PCR is ask for a low cycle threshold test. The CDC says cycle thresholds less than 25 have a very high positive predictive value. That means when it's positive, you really have COVID. The other thing you can do is you can ask for an antigen test. An antigen test is testing for the Ebola virus, nucleocapsid. And again, when that's positive, it has a very high positive predictive value, and you know you have COVID. The dangers are to do testing when you're not sick and to do it at high cycle thresholds. All it's going to do is keep cycling through the material on the swab, and sooner or later you're going to pop up with a false positive test, which doesn't mean anything. So that means the World Health Organization says no more asymptomatic testing. The FDA has never said we should do asymptomatic testing. That means testing all the pro athletes, the college athletes, the students, the employees, all of that needs to go. It's not supported by any regulatory law, and it's not supported by the World Health Organization.
Dr. Peter McCullough, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Just one quick question in conclusion, and that is this. When people go for the rapid test and they also have the PCR test, how frequently does it happen that the rapid test has one result and the PCR test a different result?
I don't know the answer to that question, but, you know, I think that's the future. We should have confirmatory testing. You know, we do that for so many other illnesses, including HIV. Because COVID is an important diagnosis, I think we should have confirmatory testing. And if you're PCR positive, antigen positive, and you're sick, you've got COVID, that's a solid case.
Well, doctor, I hope my voice didn't scratch your ears too much today. I'm grateful for your time. Thank you so much. You're one of our favorites.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Dr. Peter McCullough joining. He's a Bills fan, by the way, and was born at Kenmore Mercy Hospital. And the sites that he mentioned earlier, if you go to the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page, you will find them. One of the sites is aapsonline.org. That is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And we'll get Jane Orient on again. She was supposed to have been my guest tomorrow, but that probably isn't going to happen for obvious reasons.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.